Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our story this week will be, in some respects, familiar to every parent in the world, that of a child who doesn't always adjust easily to new situations. But in another respect, the child in our story is rather unique in a very wonderful way. Our story is titled The Tea Party, written by Christopher Young, and stars Lynn Allen as Clara Hemp. Here's Act One of The Tea Party.
Flight 707 for Chicago is now loading at gate 9. Flight 707 for Chicago is now loading at gate 9.
Well, it's been so long since I met anybody at the airport. I hardly recognized the place when I got here. Oh, and then, Pat, when I think it's been almost 20 years since we've seen each other.
Not since high school, Clara. Oh. Can that really be nearly 20 years ago?
Well, Major Hemp, I can honestly say that both you and my wife hardly look old enough to be out alone at night.
Oh, you said he was charming, Pat, but you didn't say how charming. The name is Clara. Vince. After all, we're all going to be friends the way Pat and I were years ago. Besides, I've just been made a major, and I'm not quite used to the title.
Oh, Clara's in charge of the Salvation Army Day nursery here in town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see, if I remember correctly, we go out this way.
Yeah, I'll get the door.
Thank you. Well, it's quite a walk to the parking area. Oh, this city has grown so in the last few years.
I suppose that's one of the reasons my company built down here.
Mm-hmm. You wait and see. You'll be glad you transferred.
We really did it for Alice.
Oh, I can't wait to see your daughter, Pat.
We thought it best to leave her with my sister a few weeks until we're settled.
Well, I just know you're going to like this house I found for you. Mrs. Stillman's a wonderful woman, and her Bobby's just about Alice's age. And the neighborhood is full of children.
Well, that's what we want more than anything.
Oh, here's the car.
Why don't you let me drive so you can relax, huh, Clara?
No, I want you to be able to look out and see our town.
All right, I think we're all in.
Oh, while I think of it, you know, you're under no commitment to rent the house. Mrs. Stillman understands that. So if you're not happy with the place that I have found for you...
Oh, I'm sure we'll love it.
I feel as though I know it. You said it's such a complete description of the house, the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's only a 15-minute drive from our new plant.
Mm-hmm. I certainly hope you're not going to be disappointed. This is going to be a big help for Mrs. Stillman.
I understand she lost her husband recently.
It's a tragic thing. It was such a young man in business for himself, not 2 months when it happened. They put every cent they had into that little business and borrowed heavily. Mm. There's hardly any insurance, so she's going to have a very difficult time of it. But you'll be meeting her soon. It's only another few minutes to the house.
I think I've shown you just about everything in the house.
Well, it's just perfect.
Well, it really is, Mrs. Stillman, and I love the way you furnished it. We sold all our things. It cost so much to have them transported.
Oh, I think we missed one room, Mrs. Stillman, where Alice will be sleeping.
Oh, I hope you don't mind. Since you said your daughter won't be with you tonight, I let my son Bobby sleep there this last time. You see, it was his room.
I'm sure we all understand.
I feel terrible thinking that...
Mrs. Stillman, I'm not too familiar with the arrangements. I'm afraid I don't know where you and your son are going to be staying.
Oh, well, we'll be fine. You see, my husband was a carpenter by trade. He built a little guest house in the back for my mother. It's a complete unit, kitchen and everything. But she passed on about 2 years ago. Actually, it's just perfect for Bobby and me.
Oh, wonderful. Then we should become great friends.
And Bobby can introduce Alice to all of his playmates.
Yes. I hope Bobby and Alice get along well. Actually, I'm very concerned about him. I was thinking of paying you a visit and talking about it, Major.
What's the trouble?
Well, it's nothing you can put your finger on, but... He seems so different in the last 2 months since Paul died. He's aggressive, he's inconsiderate, he seems to spend more time fighting with his friends than playing with them. I suppose having lost his father, it's a resentment against everything that he doesn't understand.
That's more than likely. But give him time. He'll come around and... You call me any time you want.
Thank you. Oh, we have the summer ahead of us. I just dread the idea of his starting to school in the fall with this chip on his shoulder.
And here we keep thinking we're the only parents who have child-type problems.
I learned long ago that that's a universal situation.
Mrs. Stillman, I hope you'll encourage Bobby to feel perfectly at home here, just as long as we're living here.
That's awfully nice of you.
Oh, absolutely. After all, we can't expect him to understand that he's moved out and we've moved in.
Well, I, for one, think this is going to work out to be an ideal arrangement. Now it's almost 10 o'clock. I think we're all tired. I'm going to run along.
Oh, Clara, thank you so much for everything.
You've been wonderful.
Pat and I have 20 years to catch up on.
Well, I'll show you out, Major. I'll say goodnight to you, Mr. and Mrs. Molnar.
Good night, Miss Dillman. Clara, I'll talk to you both tomorrow.
Night, all.
Good night. Just yell if you need help.
Oh, we will.
It's been a big day. Are you really as happy with the house as I am?
Oh, thoroughly, thoroughly. I just hope Alice likes it.
Give her time. I'm sure she will.
I pray you're right. I worry about her, Vince. I worry about her so much.
Mommy, they threw rocks at me.
Oh, well, sweetheart, what is it?
They threw rocks at me.
Who threw rocks at you? Who was it?
Bobby and those other kids.
Now, why would they do a thing like that? Here, let me look at you.
They threw the rocks and told me to dance.
Well, I don't think they hurt you, dear.
It does too hurt.
I mean, you didn't get any cuts or anything from them. How about a nice glass of lemonade?
Okay.
Would you like me to fix some for your friends and you could take it to them?
They're not my friends.
Well, they will be in time. You have to remember you've only known them about a week and they've known each other all their lives. It takes time for somebody new to be accepted, welcomed. You understand what I mean, Alice?
I don't like Bobby Stillman. He's the meanest.
Well, Bobby's kind of unhappy right now. Of course, I can't expect you to understand that.
He always says mean things to me, and he keeps whispering about me to all the other kids.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. I seen him.
Saw him.
Sometimes I'm playing all by myself, and he comes over and just starts saying funny things to me.
What do you mean, funny things?
Well, you know.
I'm not sure I do, Alice.
I don't know for exact, but they're not nice. Like he thinks maybe I'm crazy or something.
Alice, if you're finished with that lemonade, why don't you go clean up? I think I hear your father coming in.
Okay, Mommy.
It's been a hot day. Why don't you rest a while before dinner?
Okay, Mommy.
What do you do? What do you do?
Hello?
In the kitchen, Vince.
Smells very good in the kitchen. Looks very pretty. Although a little upset, I'd say.
Oh, I don't like to bother you with these things the minute you're home from work.
Oh, no, that's all right. Go ahead, bother me. I have a hunch it's my problem as much as yours.
Same thing. The other children just don't seem to accept her. They act as though there's something different about her. And I know I'm being objective when I say there isn't. She's a very average little girl.
Around us.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know if I mean anything, except maybe she's different when she's playing.
Well, I thought of that, too, but I've watched her, actually spied on her. Vince, she gets along beautifully, but then all of a sudden, one of them will make some remark or do something nasty to her, and all the others join right in as though it were the proper thing to do. It's exactly what my sister said while she had her.
Yeah, maybe we should have brought her right down here as we planned instead of leaving her there half the summer.
But it started out so well, according to my sister's letters. She played with the other children, and then things changed.
I'm stumped.
And do you realize that in just 2 weeks she has to start into kindergarten? I just don't know what to do. Clara, first of all, I have to apologize to you. You've been asking me for weeks to visit you here at the Salvation Army Day Nursery, and now when I finally get here, it's for a selfish reason.
Nonsense, Pat. I've been a guest in your house a dozen times the last few months, and I've seen how busy you are, giving it those little personal touches that make it home.
Well, I might have known you'd understand. You know, I had no idea how many facilities you had here.
Well, I'll have to take you on the 40-cent tour before you leave. Yes, people have been generous enough so that we manage to keep our heads above water. It does take a lot of doing to care for 50 children every day. Food, playground, maintenance, place for their naps, classroom staff. You can imagine.
I never knew the Salvation Army had anything like this.
Oh, yes. We take care of children whose parents have to work and have no one to take care of the child during the day.
You mean like widowed mothers?
Often, but not necessarily. Sometimes both parents are alive, but maybe an illness or some personal tragedy has made it necessary for them to both work to pay off the debts.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't why you came here, Pat. It's about Alice, isn't it?
I'm at my wit's end, Clara.
Oh, you were successful in starting her in kindergarten. I mean, it wasn't like those other times you were able to leave her there. She didn't cry.
And I'm very thankful for that. And for a while, I thought things were going beautifully. She almost seemed to enjoy school. But now it's started again.
What started?
The same thing. The daily reports from her that the other children are teasing her, treating her differently. In some cases, staying away from her, whispering to each other about her.
I would like for you to bring Alice here after kindergarten and lunch each day. She does go to the morning session, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She won't be officially enrolled. She'll be my personal guest for a while. I want to see what happens for myself. This is a perfect setting. Maybe we can learn something. As for what I want you to do, it's about Mrs. Stillman.
Hmm.
She's in terrible financial trouble, and if she had a job, she could make ends meet. She isn't skilled in anything, so she'll be working for low wages. But Bobby's in the morning session of kindergarten, too, and she doesn't have a soul to take care of him in the afternoon.
Clara, did you know that I've offered to take care of him if she wanted to go to work?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. She's a very sensitive and a very proud woman. She can't stand the idea of imposing, and she knows that Bobby and Alice just don't get along.
Well, then why doesn't she bring Bobby here? It's for people like her that the Salvation Army started these day nurseries.
Mm, which is what I've been trying to tell her. And that's where you come in.
Huh?
You have to convince her that this isn't merely charity. It's one of God's ways of showing us how we can all help each other as he wants us to. You're close to her every day, and you'll have the opportunity to convince her.
I'll do everything I can.
And I, with Alice.
Clara, about Alice, you know, it's almost as though the other children know something about her that I don't.
Oh?
Or does that sound too mysterious to be practical?
No. Maybe they do. Maybe they do know something about her that we don't, and maybe we can find out what it is.
That was Act One of The Tea Party, starring Lynn Allen as Clara. One of the many unsung but vital services provided by the Salvation Army are the day nurseries mentioned in the first act. Located all over the United States and in Europe as well, the nurseries provide daily care for preschool children whose parents must work away from the home. They are staffed by officers trained in the care of nursery-age children and of all the facilities necessary to keep the child healthy, active, and loved while its parents aren't with it. These nurseries are a very great boon to the thousands of working mothers and constitute one more example of the Salvation Army's love for man. Now, Act Two of The Tea Party with Lynn Allen as Clara.
Mrs. Stillman?
Yes? Yes, come on in.
You're going to think I'm an awful Budinsky, but I couldn't help overhearing that man who just left. I was in the garden and...
Oh, that's all right. It's no secret that I owe a lot of people money and they'd like to get it.
Well, he was certainly unpleasant about it. I mean, under the circumstances.
Well, the circumstances don't seem to matter to most people.
I hope you don't forget that there are exceptions to that. Mrs. Stillman... Both my husband and I have heard you crying at night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I don't mean it in that way. It's... Well, for one thing, it's perfectly understandable. You know, we're both mothers with a problem. Maybe if we yak about them with each other, it might help.
Maybe it would.
I realize my only concern is Alice right now, but you have Bobby and a million other things to think of.
I'm so sorry the two of them don't get along better. I know it's Bobby's fault.
He just isn't the same child as he was.
Oh, I'd hardly blame Bobby. And as far as the children are concerned, I know we're both doing everything we can. But what about you? You're a young, healthy woman who should be working. I'm sure you must want to.
Of course I want to. Somehow or other, I'm going to have to. I thank heaven for the rent you give me. At least it keeps up the payments on the house and the taxes and the insurance. I don't know what I'll do if a pipe breaks or something like that.
Well, did you work before you were married?
Oh, yes. I was a file clerk at a lumber mill.
A file clerk? Did you know that my husband's about to place an ad in the paper for a file clerk? Of course you didn't, but why don't you take the job?
Why, I'd love to, but if I take the job...
Bobby?
Yes?
Why don't you accept the Salvation Army's help?
Would you, if you were in my position?
Of course. Or did you really expect me to say no? Mrs. Stillman, we're not all fortunate in this world. We're not all rich. Our situations and our problems are as individual as we are as people. Do you know how Clara, Major Hemp, got to be in the Salvation Army?
No.
Well, her father was chronically ill. They were penniless. He lost all interest in life. They were evicted from the flat they lived in. Clara's mother didn't know where to turn. The Salvation Army gave her the help they needed. Most people accept it and go on their way. It just so happened that Clara was different. She was so impressed that she wanted to dedicate her life to helping others in distress. I know because she was my very best friend. To her, what she does is God's will. She and people like her were put on this earth to help people like you. If you turn her down, you're not only hurting yourself, but in a strange sort of way, you're hurting her and everyone like her.
I never really considered that.
You're not an exception, Mrs. Stillman. There are thousands like you, and there are thousands of others who want to help. And you know something? I think Clara could help Bobby. Sometimes I think that woman was born to be with children.
I'm really so concerned about him.
Then are you going to let this silly pride destroy the two of you? Oh, really, Mrs. Stillman, how long can you go on like this? A job would solve all your problems, and the Salvation Army Day nursery would enable you to take that job.
You make it sound so logical.
Hooray for me, then. But have I convinced you?
Oh, I think maybe you have.
Good.
But we decided to share our problems, talk about them together. We haven't touched on yours.
Well, for the time being, I'm counting on Clara. I'm kind of hoping she's going to solve both our problems.
Glad you're early in picking Alice up.
Oh, you just invented the telephone.
Oh, who, me? If I invented the telephone, the first thing I would have heard is the busy signal. The other mothers will be coming along any minute. Come on, sit down here.
You must have something interesting to report, the way you're behaving.
Well, don't get your hopes up. I don't have the answer yet, but I do have a clue.
Oh?
At least I think it's a clue. Anyway, I'm fascinated. But before we get into that, Mrs. Stillman called. She's going to let Bobby come here so she can get a job.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we have you to thank for that.
Well, let me thank you. Having helped someone out of a dilemma makes me feel wonderful. That's funny, Clara. This one little thing I've accomplished in all the dilemmas you solve for so many people. No wonder you're so happy in what you're doing.
About Alice. You know, everything you said was right.
Hmm?
She seems perfectly normal, mixes beautifully, and yet after the first few days, the children started to tease her.
It's the same pattern.
Well, as closely as I've tried to watch her, at some point, almost every day, I lost track of her.
That's the same thing happened with me.
Well, we have a lot of grounds here. The building, play yard, garden. They're all fenced in and perfectly safe, so there's no concern. But suddenly, she's not with most of the other children.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I finally do spot her, she invariably has a tray with those little plastic dishes the girls play with.
Oh, yes, she has a set at home. I think that must be her favorite toy.
She puts the tray away, washes the dishes in that little kitchen I showed you, and then goes back to playing with the others. Honestly, I feel like Sherlock Holmes, but it's becoming obvious that one thing you said was right.
What's that?
She is doing something that we don't know about, and evidently some of the other children do.
But what? And why should they make fun of her, or tease her, or whatever it is?
I don't know yet, but I do have one other clue. Of course, trying to question a 3-, 4-, or 5-year-old child is an art in itself. Interpreting the answers is still another one. But I talked to this one little girl who seemed to find Alice quite particularly fascinating.
Mm.
She thinks Alice is, quote, funny, unquote. Why, I asked her, and her answer was so original, I have to believe her.
Well, what did she say?
She said, Alice is funny because she's always talking to Jesus.
Mrs. Molnar, thank you so much for waiting and for coming to school.
Oh, you're Alice's teacher, Mrs. Holmes?
Yes, I wrote the note to you. Won't you sit down, please?
Thank you. I must say I wasn't surprised to hear from you.
You mean you've been having some problems with her?
Well, it's not too easy to explain, Mrs. Holmes. Suppose you tell me what's been happening here.
Well, it's nothing serious. She's a lovely, well-behaved child, but we try and keep close contact with the parent if we notice anything that in some way, let's say, sets one child apart from the others. That seems to be happening with Alice.
I see.
Her first few days in kindergarten, she was a little on the shy side, but many of them are, especially the girls. But then she started mixing and joining in with everything, nothing unusual. But for the last week, it's almost as though the other children have ganged up on her. If they're choosing sides for a game, she's the last one picked. If they're all...
Mrs. Holmes, you don't have to tell me any more. This is the very same pattern I've been observing for some time. It's the reason for it that I'm desperately trying to learn. Tell me, does she ever go off by herself?
Yes, she does. Frequently after a play period, when I call attendance, she's momentarily vanished. Evidently, she enjoys playing by herself.
And you have no idea what she does during those periods?
No, I don't. But do you suspect they have something to do with the way the other children treat her?
I don't know what to think. Mrs. Holmes, I thank you for talking to me about Alice. I am aware of the problem, and we're doing all we can about it. Let me ask you one thing. Have you ever heard any of the other children say anything to the effect that Alice... This sounds so strange, I find it difficult to ask you. Has any child ever said anything about her talking to Jesus?
How odd you should ask that. I'd almost forgotten. But Alice herself, one day when I couldn't find her, she finally came running over to me and apologized and said something I paid very little attention to. Children have such imaginations. But she said she was late because St. Paul was late.
This is a day to celebrate. I've solved the entire mystery.
Well, you certainly sounded excited when you called me.
Well, actually, I knew the answer yesterday, but I wanted to show you instead of just telling you.
Well, you seem so happy about it. I'm expecting she's going to need some special help or something.
Oh, on the contrary. Believe me, she has the most influential friends. Oh, but let me start from the beginning. Before you moved down here, Alice had nobody to play with, right?
Mm-hmm.
When she did meet the other children, at first she seemed to adjust to them very well. And then, well, we both know what happened. Actually, I'm afraid Bobby Stillman was your problem here.
Bobby?
Mm-hmm. He was the first child she met. He introduced her to his friends, then he was in kindergarten with her, and following that, he came here with her.
Well, considering they don't get along, they have been rather close.
Oh, you know, Mrs. Stillman was troubled about Bobby. I say was troubled, because the last couple of weeks he's starting to act like his happy old self again.
Good.
But his father's death just made him angry at everything and everybody. In a way, of course, that he didn't understand. Especially angry at Alice.
Because Alice got his room.
I imagine so. And then Bobby saw what you've never seen. He saw Alice's private world. The one she had to create because she had no one to play with most of her life. It was something he'd never seen and he didn't understand. And when he told the other children about it, he made Alice sound strange, different than they were. Oh, but you come with me. I think you're going to see for yourself what I'm talking about.
Well, I think you're deliberately playing this for all it's worth.
Hmm. Only because it's one of the most beautiful mysteries I've ever solved.
Where are we going?
Over to the garden area.
I told you those little disappearances of Alice's intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the way she always took those plastic dishes with her. Well, in the last 2 weeks since I got that first clue I told you about, I haven't left her out of my sight for a moment. And coincidentally, she's hardly made any of those trips. Yesterday was the first one. And today, well, this one last disappearing act she made at my suggestion. And I'm happy to say that the teasing on the part of the other children has just about stopped. Oh, right through here.
I hope you realize the state of suspense you've put me.
Now, there she is.
She has a cloth spread out on the ground and the little dishes all spread out.
All right, let's be very quiet and get very close where we can hear her.
St. Paul, don't you hear what Jesus is saying? He would like you to pass the sugar. You know, Jesus likes sugar in his tea and just a little bit of milk. Thank you, St. Paul. And now, Mary has a special surprise for all of us. Well, it's really Mary's and St. Peter's surprise, because this is our very last tea party. St. Peter went fishing again, and he caught some wonderful fish. And Mary was nice enough to make some yummy fish cakes for us. What'd you say, Mary? Oh, that's right. Mary wants you all to know that she got the recipe from Ruth. So, Jesus, we want you to have the first fish cake, of course. And while we're eating them, Noah is going to tell us the story of his ark again.
Oh, I tell you, Vince, I just cried. It was so sad and so beautiful at the same time.
Imagine.
Those Bible stories I've been reading her since she's 3 1/2. All the characters became her imaginary friends because she had no others.
And Bobby discovered her little game and didn't understand it.
Evidently.
But why did she make that the last tea party?
Clara feels those friends will now take their proper place in her life. Now that she has other children to play with, she doesn't need imaginary friends.
Hmm. The miracle of children. You know, I'm going to pay more attention to Bobby. Maybe take him to a ball game once in a while. Kind of play a substitute father.
I think that would be wonderful.
No, after all, we can't have Clara and the Salvation Army the only people trying to help in this world.
I don't think I'll ever forget what Clara said to me yesterday after she showed me Alice at her tea party.
What was that?
She said, imaginary or not, I like the company Alice keeps.
That was the final act of the Tea Party, starring Lynn Allen as Major Clara Hemp. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.